Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Happy Father's Day, everyone, and we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. It's related to boxing. We'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and as always, if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 8 or 8:30 tonight. We'll see what goes on, Beeb. We'll see how it goes. All right. Tonight, we're going to talk about Oscar De La Hoya. He's at it again with one of his fighters. We'll give you the full story. Oscar doesn't learn, Beeb, does he?
It doesn't, man.
He just doesn't, man. He doesn't get it.
Has no self control, man. Just blurts things out.
Diarrhea of the mouth. Best way to describe it.
Everything's gotta be like out in the open. He can't just talk to people, pull them aside. He's gotta broadcast everything. He always needs attention, this guy.
Yeah, that's what happens. I think with these big fighters going to business for themselves and going to promotions for themselves. Look at Floyd Mayweather. Yeah. He's constantly always referring to his fights and what he's done and everything like that. And De La Hoya is a lot the same way, where he has to have the attention on him. I don't get it, man.
Yep.
And some sad news here. Beeb, the best to ever lace him up. The best to ever do it. The best to ever step in the ring. Retired today. Tell you all about it. Retired, Beeb. But first, we get started with ESPN. Let's start with the one last night. Emmanuel Navarrete. I don't know. Okay.
Navarrete. You got it right.
I had it right.
You got it right.
That's what happens. Versus Uriel Lopez, 10 rounds, junior featherweights. Vaquero Navarrete wins via 6-round KO. I thought, you know, I tell you what, Lopez had his moments, but I mean, overall, I thought Navarrete looked pretty good. We kind of knew this was going to be like a squash match. It didn't turn out. I mean, I thought, like I said, man, I thought Lopez had his spots, but by and large, the fight was never really in doubt.
Never.
You know, where does Navarrete go from here, man? I mean, they made a comment last night saying, well, he hasn't fought anybody since Dog Bay or whatever. Okay, but again, who's he going to fight right now? What top guy are you going to put in there with him right now? You know, well, what can you afford to put in there with him right now?
I think he's going to move up to featherweight. I think he's having a hard time making 122, and we already know that that featherweight division is red hot.
Yeah,
I don't see him staying at 122 that much longer at all. To be perfectly honest with you, there's already been rumblings of, and you know, in his camp and been put out there that he's having problems making 122. He's a big kid, you know, tall, got long arms.
Yeah, anytime that comes out, man. Yeah, anytime that comes out, when you're having trouble with weight or whatever, you know he's moving up.
Yeah, and this fight was actually at 126, I believe. It wasn't even at 122 because it was a non-title fight. So.
Yeah, well, there you go. Right.
Yeah.
So I think he is moving up too as well. But, you know, a lot of people are very critical about who this guy, you know what I mean? He say, you know, when I think it was Tim Bradley that said, you know, he hasn't fought anybody since blah, 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 blah. But again, what are you going to put him in with? You cannot, I can't stress this enough. You're not going to put anybody in there with a top contender right now. It just ain't happening. It ain't happening.
No.
What are you going to do? You know, and either these guys, I tell you, either these guys got to start taking pay cuts or it's just going to be what it's going to be.
Well, here's the thing, though. You know, Dana White is saying he's paying his guys the same exact that he paid them before this pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in defense to the boxers, if they're going to take big risks and they're going to be in tough fights, then I understand that there's no live crowd, but the promoter's going to have to figure something out, because it's not fair to ask a fighter to, like, for Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez to get it on, for Fury and for Wilder to get it on in their third fight, you got to pay them. You got to pay those guys. You got to find a way to pay those guys. You got to find a way to make it work. So, you know, it is what it is.
No, but Dana White, I mean, and Dana White hasn't paid them up, but they're all complaining about fighter pay over the UFC. But at the same time, Dana White didn't set a precedent of paying his guys $50 million a fight. You know what I mean?
No.
He never set that precedent of overpaying these guys. I'm not going to say overpaying them, but overpaying in the sense that, like,
same pay scale
above the normal.
Yeah, Dana White never went the boxing route and paid them with the,
No, and it didn't matter if they broke pay-per-view records. I mean, he may have thrown them a couple extra bills, but, I mean, you sign the contract and it is what it is. Now, John Jones, Jorge Masvidal, and there's a few others, I think, that are complaining about fighter pay. And, you know, I get it. You know, hey, I mean, why not get as much as you can when you go out there? You know, I don't have any problems with that.
But do you think the main reason why those guys are complaining is because they're going over and looking at what the boxers are making and they're saying, I want some of that boxer money?
It's hard. It's hard to look at, like, you know, Ryan Garcia, who wants $500K a fight, or when you see, like, Conor McGregor crossing over and making what he made against Floyd, you know.
$100 million.
John Jones, I think it was John Jones called out Mike Tyson. Weighed in on the fighter thing. He says the UFC guys will never get paid as much as boxing guys. He said just because of the way it's gone, you know, he said the only way John Jones can make that kind of money is if he comes over and fights me or something like that, you know. John Jones then said, you know, hey, challenge accepted. He wants to fight Mike Tyson. Of course he does.
How would that play out in a straight boxing match?
He'd get killed.
John Jones would, or Mike Tyson?
John Jones would get killed. Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah, he would get destroyed.
That's an interesting fight, though, because you could just say Tyson's 53, John, well, how old is John Jones, like 33, 20-year difference?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, John Jones wouldn't have anything to keep Tyson off him.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting fight.
Yeah.
John Jones, like, he relies on his feet a lot when he's fighting in the octagon.
Yeah.
It's not like he's always throwing leg kicks constantly.
Right. But he also relies on that teep kick a lot, you know, where he tries to kick out your leg and stuff like that. That's why the thing is, like, if it was in an octagon, obviously John Jones marks his guy.
Yeah.
But in a boxing ring, there ain't no way. I mean, no way.
No way.
I mean, that fight's not even close. But people will pay for it. People would 100% pay for that. Georgie says, can you please move the belts around so we can see the ringside reporter and not the WBC mafia?
Listen, that belt was shipped to us by Mauricio Suleiman himself.
Himself.
We have to pay homage. We have
himself.
To pay homage to the,
friend of the
to,
show.
To Don Suleiman. We have to pay homage to Don
Suleiman.
Okay.
I would say El Chapo Suleiman, but he's pretty tall. So that's right. Shipped to us by the WBC, son. Get it together over there.
But I like the way Navarrete breaks guys down. You know, I like the way he just systematically and methodically wears guys down. You know, he's just very patient.
He's a good fighter, man. Solid
him
fighter.
Him being so tall and so long, it's really bizarre and amazing to watch how well he can work on the inside with that long, lanky frame with those big, big pipe cleaner arms of his, man. Those things are like, those are like the longest arms I've ever seen on a on a guy his size, junior featherweight, whatever you want to call him. He's got the longest ass arms I've ever seen, bro.
Yeah, he's a big dude, man.
Yeah, man.
He's a big guy. So, yeah, I imagine, like you, he's going to move up and wait, and we'll see what comes of it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a really weird time, you know? I mean, again, it's just gotten back on track. It's just trying to ramp up again and everything like that. The good thing is ESPN and Top Rank, they're putting on shows twice a week, sometimes three times a week.
Yeah.
And what else are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to say it like this. If you look at the card from top to bottom, we're at least getting, if there's like a four or five fight card, we're usually getting two or three pretty entertaining scraps. Like there's been upsets on some of these cards, and there's been some close fights too. So the names may not be the biggest, but these guys
are stepping up.
They're stepping 100% correct. They're stepping up. They're taking advantage of the opportunity, and they're trying to, you know, make a name for themselves. They know that this is something that doesn't come along every day. So we're going to make the most of our opportunity, and they're fighting that way. You know, they're putting on great performances. They're fighting outside of themselves. It seems some of these guys, they're going above and beyond. You could just tell, you know, and I give them full credit for that.
Well, and I mean, a lot of ways, they're the only game in town. You think about it, you know, everybody's watching them. You know what I mean? If you're a boxing fan, you're watching it. So, I mean, it's kind of like you're the only – this is your center stage. This is your time now. It's almost like every fight on there is like a main event in the sense that people are going to be watching you, you know?
I enjoyed the majority of the fights, to be perfectly honest with you. There's a couple, you know, like as you would say, squash matches. Yeah. But there's been some pretty decent ones too. I mean, when you look at any card, even the UFC cards – When you watch Amanda Nunes, how many just about all her fights are squash matches? You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot. It just ends up that way. It just happens, you know.
Absolutely. JC in the chat talking about the Plania fight. So let's talk about that one. Josh Greer versus Mike Plania. Mike Plania scores the big upset by majority decision over here over Josh Greer. Scores were 94-94, which go figure that one out, 96-92, 97-91. Greer coming in was a 3-1 favorite. He was ranked number one at bantamweight, was knocked down twice, once in the first, again in the sixth. Listen, man, I mean, you know, I know he came on strong at the end and everything like that. You don't get knocked down twice in a 10-round fight. And, you know, I mean, that's a tough road back.
I only gave him like the last three rounds, and arguably you could give him another week. Best case scenario for him, even if you give him five, I don't see how you could give him more than five. If you wanted to be generous, you could maybe squeeze five in there. I thought it was maybe he won three or four rounds tops.
94-94.
Yeah.
Who scored? Adelaide Bird. You know.
I didn't agree with that card, but you know the. No. The amazing thing about this fight was watching Plania, how he threw that left hook, because generally the left hook is a mid-range punch, and you bend your elbow. It's more of a circular type motion.
Mm-hmm.
This guy threw his hook like he had a stick in his hand, and he's like slashing down like he didn't even bend his elbow. His arm was like almost straight when he threw the hook. And he's coming down in like a slashing type motion when he threw it. And generally, when a guy has his hand out like that, he's gonna throw a straight punch, you know. So, as a fighter, you see a guy's hand out there. You're bringing your right hand closer in front of your face, and by doing that, you're anticipating the jab, which is what I can only assume. What Greer was doing, he was anticipating a jab, like was mentioned at the broadcast by I think Tim Bradley and the rest of the broadcast crew. So I don't think, how could you ever envision a guy being able to throw a hook when his arm is fully extended like that? That's a very rare thing.
Weird
for someone
thing,
to be able. Yeah, so that's like the most unique type hook I've ever seen. So you know, so Greer brought his hand in, thinking he was going to catch the jab and then probably throw his own jab in the process. And then he's this friggin' sickle of an arm comes down on him. You know, it was just the most bizarre thing. And then when Greer came up close, Plania was actually throwing like his right hand and a hook in a circular type, shortened it up,
mm-hmm.
more or less how the hook would be thrown, but he did it with his right hand, basically. So he shortened it up and kind of looped it around and dug it to the body and, you know, threw it in a shortened hook, you know, circular type motion, a short looping right hand. And, you know, when Guerra got up close, that was the punch that Planet was landing. And that's how Guerra got some shots off, because, you know, he was only getting hit by the right hand up close from Planet, and he was able to get a little bit in that way, because, you know, the body shots were only coming from the right side. It was kind of bizarre how the hook was thrown as a straight punch and the right hand was thrown as a more short looping punch, similar to what a hook would be. So it was almost ironic, and it was, you know, it was switched around. He fought almost like backwards. You know, it was a bizarre thing to watch.
Yeah, it was. He's got an awkward style. Awkward.
Very awkward style.
And that's always tough. I mean, it's always tough to try to figure it out. It's always tough to get sparring for that, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, working in his favor, man. But
yeah.
The number one ranked guy goes down, man. That's got to be the tough, because, you know, again, they're not looking for competitive matches when they match this guy up. They're waiting for title shots and everything, and hey, goes down.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Jose Pedraza versus Mikel LaPierre. This fight was canceled due to someone in LaPierre's camp having COVID. Someone tested positive with COVID. That means the whole, you know, that fight's off. That guy goes home. I heard it was his manager. Some people said it was coach. I'm not sure who it was, to be honest with you. I didn't really look into it. I just saw it was canceled. And quite honestly, didn't really care, you know. But you know what? We're going to see this more and more, guys. And I think this is why I think if you're a promoter, you got to be hesitant to put on the big fights because of this whole thing, you know. And if what happens if one of them does test positive for this, then what? You know what I mean? That's a tough one, man. What do you do? You know, you got this big fight. And so on this case, you know, the main event, you know, the co-main became the main, and it wasn't all that exciting, I'll tell you that. But, yeah, that's your, you know, your main event. That's your big fight, and gets canceled. So
I'm going to say something very controversial.
How dare you?
And this is not going to be the most politically correct thing to say.
Oh!
I think if someone's positive for the COVID but they have no symptoms and they feel okay, I think they should be allowed to fight.
How could you say something like that, Deeb?
If the opponent is willing to fight them.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, listen, they're mixed on whether you can or can't get it. You know,
they're saying now that it's kind of hard to contract if someone doesn't have symptoms. Now let's look at any other virus. Any other virus, like I'm gonna say something kind of out there a little bit, like the HIV virus. Now, if someone's on HIV medication and their viral load's at zero, it's almost impossible for you to catch HIV virus from someone if their viral load is at zero. Like most viruses, if you're showing no symptoms, that means basically that your antibodies have it in check. Your immune system has it in check. Generally, any type of virus, like you would have to sneeze on someone or cough on someone for them to get it. Really?
Which in boxing, I mean, is not that out of the question. I mean, because you're, you know,
it's not impossible, but,
you know. Let me ask you a question.
But I've never seen a guy sneeze in the ring on his opponent.
No, but there's sweat going and everywhere else. I would assert.
Well, we don't know. We don't know if you can catch it from sweat. Can't catch HIV from sweat. So I don't know if we can catch this from sweat.
All right, let me ask you a question. All right, so okay, let me ask you a question, Mr. HIV. Would you date an HIV positive girl?
Honestly?
Yep.
If she was on the medicine and her viral load was zero.
Load was zero.
I may do it. They're saying now that they have medicine to bring, like Magic Johnson, he has no antibody, like he has sex with his wife. because he's because and he
Where
was
is
he
she
said
go?
Because
she's married to him
again.
Got to
but his viral, but he his his the medicine has it, so his viral load is at zero, and he can't give her the virus.
So you would date a chick? You would date a chick that's HIV positive?
If I loved her.
Well, you got to date her. I mean, you can't just love her. If I met her,
right?
You swipe right or whatever on Twitter, and you said, "Hey, baby, let's get together, let's go out for some steak or something like that, Beeb specialty," and then you take her out, you fill her full of food or whatever, and you find out during dinner, hey, she's HIV positive. What do?
I guess. I would want to know her viral load status.
You would want to know her viral. Hey, can I talk to you for a minute? What's your viral load? You know, what is that? What is that? How do you work that in the conversation?
Let me ask you. Well, this is what I would do. This
you
is
want
what
some
I
cheesecake?
Would do.
Hey, what's your viral load again? I forget you told me.
This is what I would do. I'll be honest with you. I would only go so far in the beginning. You know, I usually score on the second date, not on the first date. I like to score on the second date.
Sure.
So what I would do is,
he's a ladies man.
So if we're getting busy on the couch or something, I take it at home or whatever. I say, you know what? Just for my own well-being, I'd like to take it a quest diagnostic night. I just got to know what's going on.
Just for my own well-being, I'm
going
to take you over to
the
quest lab.
but even still, if I don't, I could still smash her with a condom on, right?
You would?
Yeah, why not? I smash her with a condom.
Oh no!
Can
man.
I explain something to you?
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm gonna throw the statistics at you.
Logan Wolf says, "Beeb, just pray and go for it."
Do you know? The chances of getting HIV from vaginal sex, even if the girl has a, you know, high, you know, not a huge, like a high viral load, but, you know, like has a viral load in her system, right? It's 0.004%. That's with her having the virus and the viral load being high enough to transmit. So you need to tell me that's raw dog now. That's raw dog. You have less than one. You have a 0.004% chance of catching it. So if you put a condom on, you have like a virtually zero chance of catching it from her.
I don't care. You tell me you're HIV positive, you got to bounce, son. That's it.
What if she was the one?
She's obviously not the one if she's got HIV. I mean, what is
I don't want to discriminate, you know, against people that have, medical deficiencies.
Medical deficiencies.
I don't think you're being fair.
How am I not being fair?
I don't think you're being fair.
Because I won't sleep with somebody who's HIV positive. Sometimes you wouldn't do it either.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Aaron Daly, thank you so much. We appreciate it. He says, love the show. Respect to Eric Beeb and Georgie.
If you don't know someone's status, right, you're putting a condom on anyways. Why are you putting a condom on? In case she does have it, right? And you don't know.
Right. But now you do know. Now you know for a fact because she done told you. You don't think that changes anything?
Not if I really liked her, man. I don't want to discriminate against someone that has HIV, man. I don't think it's fair. I don't think a person with HIV deserves to be alone the rest of their life. That's not fair. That's not fair.
She doesn't have to be alone. She's just hanging to be with me. I don't know.
I just want to put a message out there to any woman who's HIV positive, man.
Call the Beeb for some loving. There
you
go.
If you need someone to talk to, just reach out, man. I'm here. I'm here for you.
Are things that bad? You're calling out AIDS chicks? I mean, what?
All right, now let's not let, again, now you're denigrating people that have HIV. This is 2020. HIV is not a death sentence anymore. I want to let you know that. We have modern medicine now.
So you're just going to go catch it now? I mean, what?
We have the PrEP. We have what's called the PrEP now, a brand new HIV drug. I mean, we've made huge strides here.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's take a poll in the chat. Would you date a girl with HIV, yes or no?
Yeah, I mean, look at the Bronze Plumber says, no need to be alone, find somebody else with HIV. There you go. Then you ain't got to worry about it.
Okay.
Saying the both of you got it. So there you go.
All right.
Would your brother do it? Would your brother?
No, my brother.
You know why? Because he's got common sense. That's why. And Nacho's in the chat weighing in with the other way. Hold on. Beeb, unfortunately, you can't get someone, so you got HIV. That means I'm playing Russian roulette. That means, yeah, so you can't get some once you got HIV, bro. Is Nacho, Nacho's not a nurse or anything, is he?
I don't know.
I don't think he is. I don't know.
He's not someone I look forward to for medical advice, though.
You're looking to the audience for medical advice? Nacho said it's a no from me, bro.
Everyone said no, not a chance.
Everybody's saying no, son. Logan Wolf said yes, if she looks like Megan Fox. Hey, you know Megan Fox? You know who she's dating now? She's dating from Cleveland, that guy, that rapper from Cleveland. Who's that guy? He was feuding with Eminem, Machine Gun Kelly. That's who it
was. Oh, Machine Gun Kelly? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she went to the husband for him and everything, boy. Oh, Ohio, wow. Son, that's what we do to people. Ohio. Title
that's
town,
how it
son.
Is. That's how it is in the big city.
That's how we're rolling, baby. All right. Gabriel Flores Jr. versus Jose Ruiz. Flores, man, this is as lopsided as it gets. 189 on all three cards, wins a unanimous decision. Drop Ruiz in round two, completely dominated the fight from start to finish. I mean, listen, man, I like Gabriel Flores a lot, you know, he ran right through this guy. I want to see him again for sure. I mean, he's just one of those guys I think that keeps getting better. Could be one of the best out there.
I agree on one point that was brought up during the broadcast though. Because Ruiz was pressing him and getting inside and Flores was kind of just frozen there. He just stood there almost like a deer in the headlights. Not saying he was afraid or he was concerned. But the thing with Flores was he was coming straight in. He didn't position himself off to the side. He didn't go outside of Flores' shoulder. He just stood center line. So Flores was just able to just sit there and catch everything on the arms and the elbows and the forearms, But if someone is more creative and they step around Flores and get off to the side and step outside his shoulder, his left shoulder or his right shoulder and start ripping those body shots, he's gotta have to have a plan B in there. He can't just stand there like that and not pivot out or take a half step to the side or grab and freeze. I didn't like that. And against someone who's a little bit more savvy on the inside, if he just stands there like this, and the guy steps off to the side and around and starts ripping those shots, wrapping those shots around his elbows, he's gonna have problems. So that was a good point. I think I want to say Tim Bradley and both Tim Bradley and Andre Ward mentioned that he's got to learn. Like if you're gonna be inside, you just can't stand there and do nothing. You either got to punch, you either got to take a half step to the side or pivot off to your left. Or you got to grab him and push him off, or grab him and walk him back and then push him off and then start ripping shots. You just can't stand there and do nothing, which is what he did on a lot of occasions.
Yeah.
But he was just lucky that he was in there, with all due respect, with someone who wasn't very creative offensively and just was standing straight in front of him and not positioning his body to create punching angles for himself. If someone knows how to fight on the inside and knows how to create punching angles for themselves on the inside, certain gifted fighters can, when you start raising up your level of opposition, and you know there's going to be guys that are going to be able to do that, and he's going to have problems if he just stands there frozen like that. That was a good point. I thought that was brought up by the broadcast team.
Thank you so much, D Style. He says the Sanchez KO of Pena was the best KO of the year. I think without question, he iced that dude. He iced him.
That was crazy.
Was that a left uppercut? That was a left uppercut, wasn't it? Or a left?
It was a 45. Yeah.
He iced that guy coming in, boy. I mean, he just fell. He was out. He was out before he was out on his feet.
Yeah, he that was iced bananas. That guy. That was bananas, bro.
That was crazy, man. And then last but not least, Clay Collard versus David Kaminsky. Cassius Clay Collard won a split decision over David Kaminsky. Kaminsky came in unbeaten, but tell you what, he didn't leave that way. Clay Collard, this is his third prospect that he's beaten, man. I tell you what, if you're an up-and-coming prospect, I would stay clear of this guy. He finds a way to win. He finds a way to get him out of there, man. He looked, he's a former UFC guy. He doesn't, he's not the best fighter out there. I don't think this is going to continue, but he's on a heck of a run right now, man.
We'll think about this. How we talk about being awkward in regards to Planea, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that's kind of squares up. And he's running at you. And as he's running at you, he doesn't even have his feet underneath him. And he's throwing punches. He's running at you going like this.
Yeah.
Now, these guys, I don't know if he had, if you're able to get tape on a guy like this, if you're Kaminsky,
get tape on a guy like this.
Okay. So,
he's coming in. He's already beaten like two prospects, so you should have been able to see those fights. So you knew what you were getting into.
But how do you get a sparring partner that's going to fight like this guy? So in other words, what
pick
I'm saying
off the
is,
street. I don't know. I mean, it looked like
I guess my point is, this guy is such an awkward guy, and he's got such a weird style. I don't think I've ever seen anyone run towards somebody other than a street fight. Other than a street fight, I don't think I've ever seen anyone in a boxing match like run towards someone and as they're running, throwing punches at the same time. This was like a kung fu movie watching this guy like this is like fucking it's not conventional boxing. So I guess my point is, how do you prepare for a guy like this? I think he's so awkward and he just throws punches from all types of angles and from all types of positions when he's moving, that it's just hard to prepare for a guy that is so awkward like this, is what I'm trying to say. He doesn't really set shots up. He just throws. He's like, you know what I mean? And he's running at you. It's like, I've never seen someone throw punches as they're running towards their opponent like this. Have you?
No. The closest you can get would be like a guy like Aaron Pryor, but Aaron Pryor could bite. He could box.
But Aaron Pryor had his legs underneath
motion. Him. Right. I mean,
yeah,
no, listen, I'm not comparing him to Aaron Pryor, but that's the only thing that,
no,
that comes to my mind.
I know you're
you
not.
Know?
I know you're not.
Yeah,
you're
that's
not,
the only thing that comes
saying.
To mind. Yeah. D-Style, thank you so much. He said Melikuziev, iced collared. Let me tell you what, and D-Style says, yeah, he can do good in four-round fights. I'll tell you, but I got to question these prospects coming up. If you got a prospect and you watch film on this guy and you have that, and he's an awkward guy, strong guy, knows how to keep his balance. He knows how to balance. I mean, he was an MMA, he fought in the UFC, MMA guy. But it's just, he's awkward, just like Nacho said.
Yeah,
Nacho said he's unorthodox. Going to be a problem for any prospect. Like Darnell Boone, also from Titletown. He was, he fought a who's who and gave everybody problems. I don't know anybody. I mean, he gave Andre Ward problems, Adonis Stevenson, everybody. Who's who, you know? So he could, I mean, it's conceivable that Collard, you know, could really make a good living being a gatekeeper like this. But I don't think he's good enough to be, obviously, to go any real, you know, any further. And granted, he's only got like 9 fights or something like that. I get it. But, you got to question these prospects coming up that he's fighting, too. I mean, not that they're not good fighters, but they're putting a lot of hype around him and everything like that. But
yeah.
I don't know. D-Style, yeah, just what I said. It makes a good point. He said, let's just find out if the prospects are for real. If they're for real, they should beat him. He's 100% right. 100% right. If those prospects are real, they should not have any problems with that guy.
I just think the guy is just – he's got one of the most bizarre styles I've ever seen.
100%. 100%.
And I think that's what throws these kids off.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be thrown off.
No, they
really
well, they
shouldn't
can't be thrown
off.
If they want to go to the next level, they can't be
they
thrown
shouldn't,
off.
Right. And that's how you separate them. And that might be if you know. Listen, man, if you're a manager, that might be a good litmus test for you. Hey, put this guy in there with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See how they do.
Yeah.
508. I think this is Georgie. 508. You're live.
Hey, yo, what's happening, people?
Georgie.
Hi, Georgie. How you doing?
Listen,
man? How's your quarantine going?
How's your quarantine going?
I'm just here getting at the fridge and shit. Not even the microwave is fucking safe for my wrath. Getting at every single appliance on that kitchen. But anyway, yo, what's up with your boy Wilder Turkin? He's twerking. His booty popping. What you guys got to say about that?
What happened?
What did he say?
I don't know.
I'm talking about your boy Wilder. You watching me booty popping the other day? Did you see on the news booty popping? He was hurt and all this song
he's
booty popping. Yeah.
I think that was a fake. I think I didn't think that was him. I thought it was somebody posing as him.
Come on, bro. Now we're going there. You know that's Wilder, B. Come on. Not the booty.
You know that's
your boy right there. That's your boy. Now it's a double.
No, I heard
what you're saying.
I heard it was a double. I heard it was somebody posing as Wilder. I heard it wasn't him.
Imitator.
Yeah.
They found somebody said the same high, huh? Same complexion.
Same thing.
I guess so.
Same.
Yo,
same.
Wilder's full of shit. No, he wasn't high on that. Because how long he say he was hurt? Wasn't not even a week in between? Then he say he was hurt, and then this shit come out and
he
booty popping.
He had bicep surgery, Georgie. He had bicep tendon surgery. What are you talking about?
You seem fine to me. He's doing a hell of a fucking recovery.
He had bicep tendon. He had bicep tendon surgery, Georgie. I mean, the guy wasn't 100%. You gotta know that he wasn't 100%.
I don't believe all these motherfuckers, bro. I don't believe the doctor. I don't believe him. I don't believe the camp. I don't believe none of these motherfuckers shit, bro. Bullshit coming out of them all the time. Fuck that.
Stop it.
You guys believe, yo, what's up with that WBC Mafia? Do me that favor, Eric. Please, Mo, look. I can see the WBC Mafia all the fucking way, and the costume man, ringside reporter Bell, we cannot hardly even see him and do. Just the tip of the crown. Could you switch them around, please?
Hey, look, man, I mean, Mr. Suleiman sent that to me personally. He was like, Eric, he said, you guys are undisputed over there. I'm sending you a belt. I was like,
if you say that name one more time, I'm going to puke.
If you look closely on that belt, there is a ringside reporter emblem right next to the country flags.
Yeah, right next to the Mexican flag up there. Yeah.
Right next to the Mexican flag.
Yeah,
it's right
it.
There.
Yeah, see?
You got to look really close.
You got to
really
see
close,
that man. Shit. Anyways, you know what? I'm going to get you about how much you pay for that belt.
Pay anything. I told you to do it. Suleiman sent it to me.
No, the costume man. How much? I'm going on tape. How much you pay for the custom belt?
Oh, for the custom
belt?
We don't pay for belts, son.
They don't pay the belt.
How much it costs? How much that costs?
It, I'm going
to find out. I get you the bill.
Listen, I swear, I didn't pay anything for that belt for the customer.
What do you think this is? What do you think this is? Pawn Stars, man? We're gonna like. Hey, this ain't Pawn Stars.
Let me show you this. This is really cool, guys. So hang on, Georgie. This is really cool, man. So my wife, it's Father's Day. She gave me four glasses, and she actually made these, which was. And I don't know. I'm gonna try to see if we can get them on camera here. Let me see if I can do this here. If we can zoom in. All right. Let me see if you guys can see this or not. I'm trying to get it on camera. Can you guys see that? I don't know if you guys can see that, but you can see like the emblem and everything on there. Anyway, that's our logo. She put our logo on these glasses. Yeah. Can you see it, Beeb?
I can see it. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's our logo on these glasses. It's like etched in there. It's like, it's crazy. I don't know how she did it. It was awesome, man. So one of the coolest gifts I ever got. Really cool.
Now Georgie's gonna ask how much that cost.
I'm not gonna hate. It's a beautiful thing. Happy Father's Day, Eric. Happy Father's Day, Eve. Happy Father's Day, audience. Everybody on the chat, enjoy, celebrate. And can we talk a little more about the WC Mafia?
All the baby daddies.
I know, baby. You guys too positive. I got to bring some of this heat here, because if I don't bring some of the heat and negativity, we don't speak about it, bro. So now you guys telling me everything is fucking dandy. Yo, let that nigga burn, bro.
What are you trying?
That nigga burn. Listen. So, fucking Wilder now talking about that he's fine. Right? And now we got to put all this shit together. Where the fuck is Dillian White and the Rui situation happening? Because now we got Nosferatu's the undead, the one that we don't speak of. That's the number bitch that you guys keep a fucking pumping like he's the best in the world. Mauricio the fucking Suleiman. Fuck you, Mauricio. So that's the number bitch he's talking about.
Oh. Defamation. That's defamation of character. You can't say that.
How dare you?
Anyways, yo, so he's talking about he's going to put Dillian White and Ruiz for what belt? What these niggas saying?
They're trying to say that I'm going to tell you something right now that may make you livid when you hear this. They're considering making Fury the franchise champion and making Dillian White the regular WBC champion.
Okay.
So how you like
okay.
them apples?
Okay. Okay.
How
now
you like
I got
them
you.
Apples?
I got you. That was a trick
now
question. That was a
now
trick
you
question.
Now you're gonna get
okay.
heated. Now you're gonna get heated.
Now you got in the beef because you talk to this man every other month. You be calling this man. Where all this bullshit coming from? Because we know Mauricio Suleiman is a fucking whore answering the phone for Bob the Reptilian Arbor. So what the fuck, Bob Arum?
How dare you?
He's coming out with his fucking Machiavellian fucking plan. What's
what does Bob Arum do? He's not a sanctioning body. He's not a sanctioning body. He doesn't sit on the board.
He's the one
directly.
Who came out with his shit. He came out with his shit before Mauricio, and as soon as he said it, Mauricio's singing the same tune. What's up with that shit? How come we ain't talking about that? Is this shit? That's the problem. That's the problem,
well,
LD.
Why can't Eddie Hearn? Why can't Eddie Hearn pull some strings and get? Why can't Eddie Hearn pull some strings? What do you think? You gonna hang around the sport
ain't
of boxing
no,
for
he ain't got no
years
shot
and
on that fight
that,
yet, though. He ain't got no way, yo, hold up. We
right,
taking
baby.
Fury Wilder.
That's right.
That's the match supposed to happen.
That's right. Top
What's
rank
right?
is the shit. I've been telling people. I don't want to listen.
Bob Arum's a friend of the show. How about that?
Bob Arum's a friend of the show, baby.
How about that?
Jesus fucking Christ, bro. You guys defend these
well,
motherfuckers. The same guy will do them justice, bro.
Bob Arum,
how long they're
going to
have Dillian White?
Listen.
How long they're going to have Dillian White
we're
for
corrupted
a title
now.
Shot?
We're corrupted. We're getting better.
Who else
Bob
Arum's going to
be
fucking
Christmas
beating out for a
me.
Title
this
shot?
What do you want, man?
They go from month to soon.
No, I think
that's
Dillian White's
William Dye got fuck out of here, man. This is
listen,
ridiculous,
look at
bro.
The
you got to keep on
the
They're talking to, they're just Parrot and Georgie. What are you saying? Like all the phonetics.
Georgie, I already told you how I feel about the situation. I think Dillian White, I've been saying Dillian White's been getting screwed over now for a long time, bro. You want me to say?
Everybody, y'all, buddy, swap on that these people just, y'all better keep putting this plan. This is my problem. These mafias on your face, writing history left and right, telling you who's going to be the champion, how many fights this cinema bitch going to have, everybody who's online going to fucking wait. And you guys there just like, this is so phony, dangling jokes, bro. Year after year after year, these fucking mafias, and what we flash a WBC mafia fucking bell on every episode. The same people who's fucking us. Bro, come on. Give me a break somewhere, bro.
There's already enough protests out there. We're not going to start another protest against WBC right now, okay?
WBC's front of the show. Notice the belt?
No, I hope fucking Dillian White sue his ass. And like the Italian dude who was racing Russia, you remember that dude with the fucking Roy Jones situation back in the day that almost got sued and got out of the fucking business? I hope this time they take them out of fucking business. This belt only represents sentimental value, people. Yo, let me repeat this.
Why do you
shit don't go through your brain?
Georgie.
Oh, man, come on. Let me burn. This belt only represents sentimental value. That's all it is, sentimental value. This motherfucking belt doesn't represent nothing else. This is all mafia make-believe, and you guys, come on, man. Ridiculous, bro.
You know what the WBC did after they got sued? That's when they started changing their rules around about how they can enforce their mandatories. Just because you're a mandatory, you don't fight for the title unless we enforce the mandatory bout. And then it says you could be ranked number one and still not be the mandatory. Ever since they got sued, they started putting all these little provisions in their rules to protect themselves. So if you go and you read their rules,
abusing loopholes left and fucking right, baby.
Not right, but I'm just saying they manipulated the rules to protect themselves after they got sued. So it's not going to happen again, bro.
But we need federal intervention, baby.
You can't say that, right?
Yo, hold on. Let me send a message out there for these cocksuckers to knock on my fucking door already or something.
Whoa,
FBI, what the fuck you doing? Hold on. Yo, FBI, what the fuck you doing besides setting up Trump with that Russian collusion bullshit? Now you want to start some Chinese shit. What about the UBC mafia? When you going to start investigation in these motherfuckers? When?
Did he just
all
call on the federal government to start an investigation on the WBC? Am I hearing things?
We started that again.
Are you calling for the federal government? Oh, my God. I am speechless right now. He wants a federal investigation on the WBC.
Can you call for that while you're in
WBC, WBA, the so-called conglomerate of friends, combaggery. A conglomerate of friends, combaggery. Filth. That's what's wrong in the sport, bro. Jesus Christ.
Do you even know all the great things? Go ahead, Georgie. I'm sorry.
What are they doing now, huh?
Stop cutting them off.
They're adopting, yo, let me guess, they're adopting crack babies now, huh? That's what they're doing? Fucking Marisa Suleiman is a crack baby.
Dude.
Fuck them. Yo, I gotta go. I'm out here. Everybody support the channel. Thumbs up. And I'll see you next week.
Georgie.
Okay. Thank you, brother. Have a good one.
That was enlightening. Let's say that. That was enlightening.
That was crazy.
How do you follow that, babe? How do you follow something like that? I don't know.
I don't think you can.
You can only hope to contain him. D-Style, 915 from El Paso. D-Style.
How's
what's
it
happening?
Going, guys? How are you doing?
Good.
Good. What's up, buddy? What's going on, brother?
I have two things on my mind. The first thing is, you know, the whole ratings thing. You know, I kind of jumped on board with the low ratings thing at first. But then, you know, I got some perspective out of it. And so I want to give credit to Evan Rutkowski. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, from Fisting Out's podcast. And this is what he tweeted. I want to read this out really quick, okay? He said, one of the funny things about ESPN's midweek boxing ratings is that sports people who don't work in boxing are actually impressed by them given the circumstances. They find them more impressive than the Saturday numbers. The boxing industry, though, thinks they are terrible. He followed up. I point this out on the show, fans on my of this topic, the boxing industry and fan base, how fickle they can be. There is little context applied to these numbers. Imagine if you heard instead top-ranked boxing had the second and third highest-rated shows on ESPN of the week behind only the UFC events that were on Saturday, right? Higher than First Take, higher than anything else that they put on ESPN. People just aren't Tuesdays have not been known as a boxing day since Tuesday night fights way back when. Neither have Thursdays. Given the fact that they're, strangely enough, on these 2 days, I think we have to kind of reflect a little bit on that. Not to say that there's nothing to criticize about these cards, because there is a lot to criticize, but we've also seen some good fights as well. I think it's a mixed bag. And he's actually the former HBO sports marketing executive, so it's not just some random dude, you know what I mean? So he has some people on the inside that he talks to. So I just found that very, very interesting. And not only that, when the UFC first came out, I mean, they had that big 1.1 million viewers, you know, which was huge for them. But then they had a drop-off. They started to have about around 600,000 the week after that for the prelims, which is only like two – it's around the same numbers that Shakur Stevenson did. So I have no idea why Dana White – is making it seem like no one's watching the top rank events. He's talking like he did those celebrity golf numbers that did like 3 or 5 million viewers, which they're not doing either. I mean, he's not doing these monster numbers either. So I just want you guys' thoughts on that.
I think you made some good points. Again, what else is there to watch on a Tuesday, Thursday night if you're a sports fan and there's no other sports on? So I think anyone that's going to be putting sports on now, if they're the only game in town, especially if it's on ESPN because everyone has the ESPN, I think people that normally wouldn't watch boxing are watching boxing right now because there's nothing else to watch if you're a sports fan. So I think that you have, as you said, the key word, you have to put these numbers in perspective. And I think if you put them in perspective, I think Top Rank has achieved what they set out to do. I think these numbers under the circumstances are very respectable. I think they're very respectable.
Yeah, I think the numbers are good. And now people use that, however, as some type of, well, people got nothing to do, so why aren't there more viewers? Well, we also have to put in perspective the level of boxing that they're putting on. This isn't Lomachenko versus, you know, Teofimo Lopez that they're putting on TV. So, The UFC is emptying their clip, putting on the best possible fights they could put. Top Rank is just not doing that. Now, there is, of course, room to criticize Top Rank for that and room to praise UFC for the latter. However, it puts the numbers in perspective. The UFC should do better numbers, especially since it's on a Saturday night, which is known as a day to put on combat sports. Another thing, man, Cassius Clay Collard. I almost called him Coward for some reason. But Collard, you know, I kind of like this little niche he's got going right now as, like, the prospect killer. Like, you know what I mean? And, look, he's been iced before. But, I mean, three straight fights, and he's actually beaten, I believe it's, like, four highly touted prospects, and none of them have come back to fight. It's almost like, you know, whoever the managers or promoters were like, yeah, this dude ain't going nowhere, okay? And they just – if you go look at his record – these guys have not fought again after he beat them. Okay, I don't know if it what was Bruce Moore, them from the punches or their ego, but I kind of like what's going on with him here. I know he had like a fallout with the UFC, and if you go to his Twitter timeline, I mean, he was trying to pitch himself in for a lot of fights, but they never quite picked him up. I know he was scheduled for a fight once, and then they pulled him out of the card, and then, yeah, I don't know, there was some problems there, and that's why the UFC just didn't want him back. But he's at a stage of his life right now and an age where he needs to decide. You know, does he want to make a run for it in boxing? If he does, if he wants to go to the next level, he needs to dedicate himself 100% to maybe have a shot to someday become a world champion in boxing or, you know, get back into the UFC and try to get into contention there. Or just, you know, keep doing what he's doing now, because I'll tell you what, he's getting calls. They're calling him up to his televised fights to fight. He's getting the call. He's showing up. You know, a lot of dudes don't get fights. Have you guys heard of Adan Gonzalez, the guy that beat Robesio Ramirez? Have you heard of him? Ain't nobody heard of that dude, and nobody can find him. Robesio Ramirez fought three times since that upset, right? No one's giving him the call. Connor's getting the call. You know, they're obviously giving him the call from different promotions, PBC, Top Rank. So I like, you know, what he's got going on right now, man. But thanks for taking my call, guys.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so
all
much,
right,
B-Style.
Man.
All right, let's go to 760-760. I believe this is Nacho, maybe.
Hello?
760, you're live.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I'm actually just listening in. Happy Father's Day,
oh, okay.
Eric. All right,
oh, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. And I'll put you back on hold and let you listen.
All
right, man. Thank you, sir. All right. All right. 443, Baltimore. I think this is Wood. Baltimore, you're live.
Yeah, what's up? This is a Floyd Mayweather senior. And I'm not going to tell y'all motherfuckers that I ain't going to treat that with Wilder. He's a piece of shit. And we ain't got nothing. He ain't got nothing. He ain't got nothing right in his right hand. That's all he got, that right hand. And you can take that away from him. He ain't got shit coming. You know what I'm saying, man? I picked the big white boy. That's inferior over white boy. White boy. Nah, he didn't beat the shit out of his ass, man.
Yeah, what's up, y'all?
Steve, we've had Floyd Jr. on here. Now we have Floyd Sr. How about that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That was crazy. My Floyd Sr., man.
I love
it, man.
How
I do, man. Love it.
You did good.
Yeah.
You did very good. I liked it.
You did very awesome. It ain't nothing going on, man. I just wanted to call and fuck with y'all, man. I'm out of here, man.
Hi, man.
Y'all be easy.
Wood. Oh, man. All right, let's check out the upcoming fights here. Let's see what we got. Not a whole lot on the table. I know you guys are shocked. Not a whole lot. Let's see what we got here. Let me pull it up here. Boxing schedule. All right. Tuesday, I believe it's Tuesday, June 23rd, ESPN and ESPN Deportes. Andrew Maloney versus Joshua Franco, 12 rounds for Maloney's regular WBA junior bantamweight title. Christopher Diaz and Jason Sanchez on the undercard there. They're 10 rounds featherweights. So, again, not the most exciting card here. On Thursday, June 25th, ESPN, Jason Maloney versus Leonardo Baez, 10 rounds bantamweights. Avery Sparrow versus Abraham Nova, 10 rounds junior lightweights. And Saturday from Mexico City on ESPN+, Plus, probably the fight of the weekend here, Miguel Burchelt versus Eliezer Valenzuela, 10 rounds junior lightweights. Omar Aguilar versus Dante Jardon, 10 rounds junior welterweights. So there you go. So let's see here. That's Saturday, and then we'll talk about the Saucedo Fredrickson, because I think that's a really good fight, actually.
that's a good one. Right,
the best fight, I think, since this whole COVID thing's come on, I think this has probably been the best fight, and that'll be next Tuesday, but we'll talk about it then.
I like Fredrickson.
I love Fredrickson. You know where – do you know where Fredrickson is from?
Absolutely. He's from one of the best fighting towns I know, man.
Title Town, baby. Title Town, son.
Title Town.
Come on,
Titletown.
Son. Let's talk about this Miguel Burchelt versus Valenzuela fight, Elazar Valenzuela. We look for this to be a squash, no?
Should be, yeah.
It should be a squash match. You know, but I tell you what, there has been some upsets recently. And but I don't see anybody beating Miguel Burchelt right now. I mean, not.
Yeah, but guys like Navarrete, they're not losing.
No.
They're not.
No. I don't see it either.
And Burchelt's not losing either.
Notorious VC and Centurion Sun are in the chat talking about the TVE. We will talk about it. Trust me, we will talk about it. We're going to get there in just a minute here.
Everyone's hyped about that, man.
I told you. He's the best ever. He's the best
that's
ever.
Big, that's a big story, bro.
Of course it is. He's the best ever.
That's a big story.
What are you going to do, man? Best
I'm
ever lace him up, son.
I'm surprised it's getting so much play, bro.
Got a lot of run. Got a lot of run.
Got a lot of run.
That's your boy. That's your boy. So, overall, the fights next week, you know. Sonny Kanto is actually fighting June 25th on that ESPN undercard. He's fighting Waldo Cortez, Waldo Cortez Acosta, heavyweights. So, some familiar names on there, you know. But, yeah, man, it's light, man. It's light.
Light one, huh?
Yeah, going to be a light week. Light week. All right, let's start off our news and rumors here with our train wreck of the week, Ryan Garcia and Oscar De La Hoya. So De La Hoya tweeted out the following this week. He said, due to Team King Ryan G's decision not to accept the July 4th bout, we will now return in late July with the future of boxing, Virgil Ortiz. More exciting details to follow at Golden Boy Boxing. Ryan Garcia then responded, hey, you do realize you're supposed to be my promoter and not hater, right? You know, I tell you, from everything I read, Golden Boy was offering to pay Garcia $200,000 for his next fight, but Garcia was asking for right around $500,000. I don't know. I mean, I get it. I would have sidelined him too. If I was De La Hoya, I would have sidelined him too. I wouldn't have done it. You know, it's tough to pay $500,000 in this climate. It just is, you know. But that being said, man, you don't make it public. There's no reason to make this whole thing public, man.
What? How does it benefit making it public by taking a shot at your fighter like that?
Right.
Like what is the upside for that?
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no upside to making this public. None.
You know, you have a problem with the guy, pull him aside. You have a private meeting with him.
No, listen, man. Look, Garcia, I tell you what, Garcia and Canelo are your two money guys. And you're just completely dumping on both of them. I mean, you don't have a good relationship with Canelo. My guess is that Canelo votes when his contract's up with Golden Boy.
Oh, yeah.
100%. He will try to get out of that contract one way or the other.
You know where Canelo's going, I bet you?
PBC?
He's going to Top Rank. I think he's going to Top Rank.
I think that's possible. Might be a better fit for him. I think that's a better fit for him. You know?
Yeah.
Alex T, thank you so much, man. God, we appreciate it. He said, sup, fellas. Haven't been on here in a while since COVID. Be safe out there. Thank you, Al Heyman. Hey, there you go. Thank you, Al.
Miss you, Al. Miss you very much, Alex T, man.
Absolutely.
Nice to see you, bro.
Notorious VC, thank you so much. Thank you for talking TVE. One Hang Manyothan. I will never forget him. He's the next Muhammad Ali. Actually, he's the first One Hang Manyothan. He's the best ever. Not
That's
the greatest.
Right.
He's the best ever, son.
You can't sleep on him, bro.
All right. Let's, you know, so back to Garcia. We'll talk about One Hang in a second here. What, you know, $500,000 is a bit steep. I got to be honest. In this climate,
that's a lot of money.
That's a lot,
that's
of,
a
money.
Lot of money.
It's a lot of money to fight, who? To fight who? Nobody.
They're not gonna put you in there with freaking Tank Davis or anything.
No. So the thing is, man. Like, I mean, I get it. I get. You know, in fact, I side with De La Hoya on that point. I get that. You know, but for him to make it public like that and to try to embarrass this kid like that, you know, this kid is still coming up. He's a prospect still. Like it or not, he's still a prospect. You know, he's still coming up. A guy like this, you got to give him confidence and everything like that. You don't do this stuff out in the open and try to embarrass him.
Totally unprofessional. Uncalled for, you know.
Yeah, you know, and not just as Garcia's a hothead. He goes to Twitter every time he feels disrespected. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, you can't bash him. Listen, I get it. But you know what? I get it. You know what? He's the promoter. There should be levels to this. Just like if you're a supervisor, all the, you know, in your you know, you don't go behind somebody's back and talk trash about your employees. You just don't. You go to your employee and say, hey, what gives here? If your employee wants to go behind your back and talk about you, whatever. But, again, you have to be the biggest person because you're in a bigger role. So you have to suck all that up. You never hear Al. How many times have you heard Al Heyman on Twitter? Zero.
Never.
How many times have you heard Bob Arum on Twitter? Zero. You know, everybody takes care of it outside, man. Him and, you know, guys like Floyd who want to, you know, who want to bash people out of that. I mean, dude, it's, you know, he's going out there openly training with other fighters that could fight his fighter. That's not good, man. It's not a good look. Why? I mean, as a young guy, if you're a young prospect up and coming, why would you sign with them guys? You know, why would you go and sign with those guys? It makes zero sense. Zero sense. Would you sign with Mr. Wooden Spoon? my daddy watches the Mexican channels, and they were showing De La Hoya's apartment. Apparently, this guy lives in, like, this building, and it's like an apartment, but he's got, like, the entire top floor of the building. So, like, that's his crib, you know what I mean? Like, this entire, you know, because he got divorced, he got thrown out of his house. So, like, the entire top floor is, like, his place.
He's divorced, huh? He doesn't have a wife. His wife left him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, his wife, his old lady got rid of him. So he lives in this place, man. My dad's like, it's huge. He's got a big kitchen, too. All the utensils you could possibly buy, you know what I mean, in there. That's cold blood, man. B, why do you say stuff like that? What's the matter with you?
I'm sorry,
You're cold-blooded, boy. You're a cold fish.
I'm sorry, man.
You're a cold fish, man. I don't get it. So
the COVID's getting to me, man. The COVID's
getting to you.
Can't take it anymore. This quarantine's killing me.
Yeah, so apparently there's a video out there of Deontay Wilder. This is what Georgie was talking about earlier. And he's out there, like, twerking and stuff like that, like dancing and twerking and stuff like that. I don't believe that's Deontay Wilder. I think it's like a – somebody who looks like Wilder, you know what I mean? He's just got the same.
It's like a spoof.
Yeah, but I don't think it's even a spoof. I think it's just some dude dancing that just happened to look like Wilder. He probably didn't even know who Wilder is, you know? And I guess maybe Dillian White put, I don't know if Dillian White's put it up or whatever. He's got a ton of views. I saw the video. I was like, what is this?
Deontay Wilder, he got so many haters now because you know, how he reacted towards that loss, man.
He's always, Dillian White always clowning him, though. Dillian White's always clowning that guy.
Dillian White's funny, man. He goes in on everybody, man. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he is. All right, B, let's talk about the big story today. Eric Rosa says, no, it's him. All right. Hey, look, man, look. Listen. I wasn't peeping him out that bit, you know, that I could tell the difference. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't really peeping him out like I could tell the difference from dude twerking. I'm not going to pay a whole lot of interest in some dude twerking. That's just me. I don't know.
I don't know if it's him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not. Well, B, would you go out of your way and really study the video to see if it's Wilder twerking?
I would not.
I'm not. I literally, he wants to twerk? Let him twerk. What do I care? I don't know. Sometimes you got to twerk. I don't know.
I have no interest in seeing Deontay Wilder twerk.
Oh, I hear you, man. What are you going to do?
The video's one. that's fucking hilarious. The video was 100% real.
Manny Gatillo says Deontay Wilder's career is done, like, is well done, like my steak.
That's crazy.
All right, B. the best to ever lace him up, the best to ever step between the ropes, get in the ring, Beeb. Called it a career today. Wanhang Menayothan announced his retirement today. He retired undefeated, 54-0. What was Mayweather? 51-0?
50-0.
Well, he did fight Tenshin.
That was exhibition. Not on his record.
You're not even going to give it to him, huh?
It's not on his record.
Wow, you ain't even going to give it to him?
Can't give him exhibition.
You ain't going to give it to him.
Boxwork won't give it to him. If Boxwork don't give it to him, I can't give it to him.
Oh, B, you saw the fight. Wanhang Menayothan, 54-0, Beeb. Beat Mayweather's record, completely demolished Mayweather's record of 50-0 or 51-0, whichever one you want to follow.
No farewell match at all, nothing.
Nope. 54-0, and he said, hey, I'm hanging it up. I'm the best ever.
I'm going to miss him.
You're going to miss him in the minimum weights, huh?
Yeah, 105 pounds. 105 pounder, bro.
He's quitting this. He's becoming a jockey now, you know?
He didn't even fight at all this year, not even in the beginning.
Yeah, COVID. What are you going to do? Best ever. That's how we're doing it, right? But that's how we're doing it right now, right? That's how.
34 years old.
Yeah.
Andre Ward retired when he was, I think, 34 too, right?
Yeah, hung it up.
Guys, these guys, they, I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't know.
Manny Gutierrez is the best I've never heard of.
You know what's crazy? He never moved up in weight either.
No, he sure didn't.
Never fought a junior flyweight. Never fought a flyweight. Stayed at 105 the whole career, man. That's
He's
fucking
the guy.
Crazy.
He's the guy, man.
He was only 5 foot two too. He was a tiny guy, bro.
Giant killer. I already sparred heavyweights in training. What I heard. I can't verify that, but that's what the people in know told me. That he was spar heavyweights right. only. That's just what I heard.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that's our measuring stick though now, right? That's our measuring stick now. If you're undefeated, you got to be the best ever, right? So if Floyd was 51-0 or 50-0 and he's the best ever, you can call himself, but why can't he? 54-0. If you lose, you're nobody now, right? If you got one loss, you're nobody.
I got to go on Twitter and I got to see if this is trending.
What's wrong with you, son?
I'm gonna tweet it out. Congratulations to the best ever on his retirement. I want to see what people say.
Jason
will probably fucking cry, man. He'll probably cry.
That's great, man. That's
He'll fucking
great.
Start crying. What do you mean he's the best ever? Floyd's the best ever.
54-0. He obviously beats Floyd.
That's how we're doing it now.
If you're undefeated.
Chank. Keep your hands up, champ. Two-piece champ.
Where is that little goofball?
I don't know. Why look at your force in the mouth? Who cares?
I know, huh? I don't think anyone misses him.
I don't think so. All right, so let's talk about Errol Spence, man. This is crazy. So speaking of Deontay Wilder and all this twerking, while this is going on, Errol Spence is defending your boy. He says that he's on a Brian Custer podcast, said Errol Spence had this to say, I'm always going to root for my countrymen, just like they always root for their guy from the UK. He's, you know, speaking of Wilder, he's the hometown guy. He's the American kid. That's what I don't like either. I don't like how American guys are rooting for Tyson Fury and he's from the UK. When all the UK guys are going for their guy, all boxers are going for Tyson Fury and all the fans are going to support Tyson Fury. We've got people here that I've got split support. A lot of Americans going for Tyson Fury. I don't like that. Listen, I'll tell you exactly why they're going for Tyson Fury and why Wilder lost a lot of fans, because Wilder said that he wore a 40-pound suit and exhausted himself on the walk to the ring and then proceeded to give every other completely stupid excuse on why he lost that fight, other than the fact that he got beat by the better man that night. That's it. It's as simple as that. It's as simple and as straightforward as that. You know what I mean?
Here's another thing for you, though. Everyone loves a winner, right?
Yeah.
When Lennox Lewis was getting ready to fight Mike Tyson, everyone was like, "Lennox is gonna win." You know, most people were, you know, on Lennox Lewis's side. They were like, "Yeah, you know, Mike Tyson's done. He's just in there for a payday." Most people were like kind of pulling for Lennox Lewis. I think normally Errol Spence has a good point. Normally I do tend to go with the American fighters. I just do, but
it's very tribal.
Tyson,
for sure.
Tyson Fury is just I just always like the guy. There's just something about him. Tyson Fury for me is an exception to the rule. You know? I'm sort of patriotic as well. I get what Errol Spence is saying. But Tyson Fury just resonates with so many people, man. He just resonates with so many people. He's just got a great personality. He's very outgoing. He's just very likable. It's hard to not like Tyson Fury, especially from what he came back from.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard to not root for him. I love Tyson. I've been down with Tyson Fury since like 2010, 2011.
You've been with him forever. You're responsible for him.
I love the guy.
Yeah.
I think he's awesome.
I do too. The problem again, but again though, even if you love the guy or whatever, if Wilder was humble in defeat, you know how many fans he would have right now? And say, listen, I just want to get back in there, I want another shot at it, and we're gonna make it different this time.
Well here's the thing. I mean, they did a $17 million live gate, okay? They sold about 800,000 pay per views, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure not all of them were just for Fury. I'm sure Wilder brought something
sure.
to the table. So I'm not.
Yeah.
It's not like everybody hates Deontay Wilder. It's just that it's hard to not like Fury too. You know what I mean? It's hard to not respect Fury too. You know.
Yeah.
And Fury did a great job when he came to America. What did he do? He went on all the shows. He did a lot of media. Had no problem doing media with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. He put himself out there as much as he possibly could, and he reached, you know, he crossed over. I think he crossed over to some degree, and I was very skeptical he would cross over based upon the opposition he fought on that ESPN contract. I was concerned him fighting those guys that he was originally fighting in the beginning, it wasn't going to get him over the line. But this fight with Wilder got him over the line. And the way it was promoted, you couldn't ask for a better promoted fight than the way that fight was promoted, the rematch.
Mm-hmm.
With Fox and ESPN putting
yeah.
these guys on every single sports show they could
yep.
by talking about it on every sports show that they televised, every sporting event that they had, they kept talking about this fight.
Right.
And, and Tyson Fury was on WWE. You got to give credit for Tyson Fury for putting himself out there and really force feeding himself to the American public, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have a situation where Tyson Fury is more popular than Deontay Wilder in his own country. Or at least equally popular.
Yeah. And I don't think you can discount. Nobody likes a sore loser. And I don't think you can discount
yeah.
that. I mean, I really don't. I just, you know, it's just one of those things,
yeah.
man. Nobody likes that.
Yeah.
Eddie Hearn, your boy, Bede, has apparently written his first book titled Relentless, 12 Rounds to Success. The book offers insight to Eddie's way of working and the lessons he's learned in life and in business. The book will be released on October 29th. Bede, I don't know about you, but I can't wait to not read this.
I'm going to buy it. I'm interested. I'm interested in you. I'm interested in what he has to say.
I am not even a little interested.
I want to see what the formula is.
you got to have a father who's a billionaire, and then, you know, he gives you the business. That's the formula, son.
Here you go.
Yeah, that's it. He just writes you a check. That's the formula.
Here you go, son.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Alexander Usyk says that he will force the mandatory so that he can fight Anthony Joshua or have Joshua strip before he faces Tyson Fury. You know, I get it. Here's my question, though. Doesn't Matchroom and Eddie Hearn promote Usyk? They're co-promoters.
This is the craziness of this whole situation.
He's the promoter, right? What are you doing?
They promote Dillian White and they promote Usyk, right? But then you got Kubrat Pulev, right? Who's promoted by Top Rank?
Yeah.
He's getting a mandatory shot, right? Why is all these other promoters, like, look at all the PBC guys, like Luis Ortiz got not one but two shots at the title.
Yeah.
Dominic Brazil got not one but two shots at the title, even after losing. Why can PBC and Top Rank position their fighters to get title shots, and Eddie Hearn can't?
Because he sucks.
What is Eddie Hearn doing wrong here?
Being Eddie Hearn, he's writing books instead of concentrating on his fighters.
And I made a video about this. I said, if your name's not Anthony Joshua, Eddie Hearn does not give a shit about you.
He doesn't.
If you're a Matchroom fighter. Put all his eggs in one basket.
That's what he does. That's seriously what he does, man.
And I cannot believe Dillian White, when he came over here and started talking to Top Rank, started talking to PBC, I cannot believe he ended up staying with Eddie Hearn. And Eddie Hearn still to this day has never given him a long-term deal.
No.
He fights on a fight-to-fight basis. So Eddie Hearn has made no commitment to you, has done nothing to advocate for you, to get your title shot for almost 2 years, and yet you still stay with him. So do you blame Eddie Hearn right now at this point, or do you blame Dillian White?
You know, Amir Khan signed with him. They were hoping to make that Kell Brook fight. He had signed on a 3-fight deal with Hearn. He couldn't put that fight together. Listen, man, they're both in your stable, son. If you can't make that fight happen, knowing when he signed, you talked about that fight, and you can't make that fight happen, and you're over there writing a book on how to be successful?
And everyone talks shit about the PBC saying, oh, they got all the welterweights, but they can't get them to fight each other. Really? Danny Garcia, Sean Porter.
Danny Garcia, Errol Spencer happening. You know what I'm saying? That's his next fight.
Sean Porter, Errol Spence. Keith Thurman, Manny Pacquiao. You know?
Right.
Errol Spence, Sean Porter. Like, all those guys ended up fighting each other.
It's insane.
So that's how you promote. Like, why is Eddie struggling so much?
Right. All right, this is an odd one, man. So Gary Russell took to social media to call out Adrian Broner.
Wow.
What? So Adrian Broner's retired. He said, quote, that's what it's looking like. If someone at 147 wants something, they can come get it. Gary Russell said that, you know, he's feeling better at a higher weight, you know, and that nobody wants to fight him. He said, AB is at 140. He can come get it. He knows what it is. AB can get it too. We can move up. I'll meet these dudes at a catch weight. These guys are scared. They're acting like suckers. You know, listen, man, Gary Russell, I like Gary Russell a lot. I'll put that there. Super nice guy. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Super nice guy.
He's a cool dude. He's a cool dude. He's a good fighter, too.
Very nice guy. Brilliant
really
fighter.
Cool dude.
He had so much potential, and he's kind of like let that go by the wayside by only fighting one fight a year, you know, and now he's wasting the game by recalling out a retired fighter. He's retired. Why would you fight? Why would you go after a retired fighter? This makes zero sense for you, son.
So what you're basically saying is, why didn't Gary Russell have this attitude two or three years ago of wanting to fight everybody like he wants to fight everybody now? Why did
100%.
He wait so long? Yeah.
You know,
I got you.
You know, when you remember when Roy Jones lost and then he was on that skid and he lost to Tarver, then he lost to Johnson. And then he's at that point, he's kind of like in and out. He's kind of he's not going to beat anybody big. Then he's talking about going to Germany, going here, going there. But when he was champion, he was on top. He wasn't talking about that.
No.
He wasn't talking about that at all. He wasn't even thinking about that. He wouldn't go to Germany to fight Mikkel Szewski. And that's all. That was a completely winnable fight for him. I mean, he completely annihilated.
He wouldn't fight Nigel Benn. He wouldn't fight none of them guys.
Right.
Okay. Sven Otecki.
None of them. And he let a lot of those guys go, you know. And, I mean, I think Jones beats all of them handily. But once he loses and now, you know, there's not as much call for him anymore, then he wants to do this. Then he wants to do that. Now he wants And the same thing with Russell. Why weren't you doing this a couple years ago, bro?
Yeah.
You're fighting once a year. And if that's what you want to do, okay. Nah, I don't have any problem with that. I mean, you do what you got to do. I mean, hey, it's, you know, your career, not mine. But the thing is, like now you come out and call out a retired 140-pounder? What are you doing? Yeah, it makes no sense, man. It makes zero sense. I don't know who's advising this guy, but, yeah, man, I don't get it, man.
He's too small. He's way too small for Broner.
Yeah, but Broner, again, man, I mean, he hasn't fought in how long? You know what I'm saying? He's probably completely out of shape. There's no way Broner makes 140. There ain't no way he makes. I would be shocked if he could still make 147 right now.
Yeah, he's probably about 180 pounds right now.
Walking around, right? 180, 190 walking around, for sure.
Yeah, without
question, man. All right, let's go back to the phones here. 805, you're live.
Nacho.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's me.
Where you been, Nacho? I had to put on an MPP on you, man. I couldn't find you.
Put him on a milk carton, man. He wins Caller of the Year and then never calls back again. It's like he conquered it, and now he's just going off to bigger and better things.
Yeah, man. What do you feel like? You got big-headed on us, bro.
Yeah.
That's not it. There hasn't been any boxing going on, fellas. I mean, literally 3 months of no boxing, and now all of a sudden it came back. I mean, there wasn't a whole hell of a lot to talk about except a bunch of rumors and innuendo.
Me and Bean were talking about AIDS earlier. Where were you?
Well, what about that
you guys are talking
about
HIV,
HIV,
not AIDS.
Yeah, we never talked about full-blown AIDS. Just say HIV, you know.
Yeah,
HIV,
exactly.
Not full-blown AIDS.
What if they had full-blown AIDS, B? Would you...
That's a deal breaker.
Different
right
story. That's a deal breaker.
That's
she got full blown.
That's a whole different
what
story.
What if HIV and AIDS?
What if you're with her? What if you're with her and then she develops full blown AIDS?
Well, I'm going to tell you something else that you may not want to believe. But now they're trying to say that HIV and AIDS there's really not a connection right now. That's two different.
You come up with so many conspiracy theories. Let me tell you this. So Bean floods my mailbox. I'll get up at like 6 a.m. in the morning, and there's a message from Beeb on there with a link to like why Dr. Fauci is wrong on this whole corona thing.
They're cooking the books right now. They're cooking the books with these friggin' numbers, man. Someone gets hit by a car. Oh, he died from coronavirus. They're cooking the books.
Wasn't it you and Wood and we were going back and forth on? It was me versus you and Wood about how O.J. is guilty. I said O.J. is guilty, and you said he was innocent.
No, what I said was I'm saying there's reasonable doubt.
Ew, fool.
I'm saying there's reasonable.
Blood
I'm saying
all
that,
over him.
O.J. would have to be a friggin' ninja to pull that job off the way he did.
Yeah, or an ex-football player, one of the others. What was his wife? What was his ex-wife? All of 105 pounds. What was that other dude? About 130? Come
that
on.
Other guy was the other guy was a martial artist, man. There's no way he could contain both of them like that. Plus, he had arthritis in both of his knees.
First of all, he knew karate. It wasn't like he was an MMA guy or something like that. He knew karate.
Black belt.
Ooh. He was a black belt in karate.
I heard he was the top of his class.
He was probably taking it with the little kids and stuff like that, like the 8-year-olds. They all have the same skill level, though, so I get it.
He was getting called out to be in kung fu movies. He was so good. Go ahead, Nacho. We just hijacked your call. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Nacho?
Did he drop?
Is he gone?
I think so.
I hope he didn't hang up on us.
I don't. Man.
Nacho, call back, bro. We'll let you back on.
Yeah, call back and we'll let you back on.
Well. I haven't